Two of the Capital Region's best music venues, the College of St. Rose's Massery Center for the Arts and the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, join forces once again to present the Bridge Jazz Fest, two nights of outstanding jazz and one great event. The Bridge Jazz Fest will kick off Friday, February 26th at 7:30, so that's this Friday, at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall with Nena Freelon, Pierre... Pierre Bensusan?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, John. And the Tim Olson and Eric Wellentowicz.
Wellentowicz? Sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
We did a whole thing before we went on about me trying to explain the, or get the names right, and then we didn't get that far, and I apologize. Eric
Wellentowicz
duo. The action shifts west to the Hudson River on Saturday, February 27th, to the Massery Center of the Arts for the Arts at the College of St. Rose with Ellis and Delfeo Marcellus, the No BS Brass Band, and the Arch Stanton Quartet, starting at 7:30 p.m. Here to tell us more are John Elbaum, Executive Director of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. John, good morning. Have you here, as always.
Thank you.
And Salvatore Prizio, who is the Massery Center Programming Manager, and it's a great pleasure to have you back on the program as well.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So this thing is working.
Yeah. Year two.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, if you get through the first and you say, let's do it again, that's a good sign.
It is. Absolutely. I think. Yes.
So bring us back to how this whole thing came together originally.
Sure. You want to take it away, John?
Thanks, Sal.
Yeah.
Sal and I have been, conversing over the years and just thinking about ways to collaborate. And last year we actually made something happen. We met over coffee and... kind of kicked around some ideas and talked about some kind of a collaboration that could really showcase both venues and offer a unique experience for our audiences.
Yeah, it was a great way to kind of pool resources as well. You know, we not to get too technical, but we're sharing, it's marketing expenses and kind of I'm reaching into John's audience, John's reaching into our audience. And that was kind of one of the impetus behind doing the whole thing let's bridge the gap.
And it's safe to say that they're essentially probably the same audience, meaning the same demographic that you're looking in, and it's a way of introducing people to each other's place.
It's definitely the same demo, but there is this kind of notorious thing in this region where it's people don't cross the river. Like, if you're in Rensselaer County, for some reason you don't come to Albany for shows and vice versa.
Yeah. It's so true.
Is Joe Bruno responsible for that? So the idea, the bridge, is that you can go to one, and then it is safe. You're allowed to cross the river to go to the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, it's encouraged, in fact.
So when it comes to the type of jazz, the type of music that you want to program to show off your venue, how do you go about that, and how is that reflected in the schedule that we see before us?
Well, when I'm looking at artists, I want to showcase, obviously, our renowned acoustics, and I think we also want to introduce some variety into a program and some kind of, we didn't really get into a thematic theme this year, but I think it's a nice blend and of jazz styles, of approaches to the art, and I think that was really the key for us this year.
Yeah, we like to go eclectic with it.
Right.
For sure.
Yep.
So there's not a type of jazz, there isn't a look of, say, this would not fit in, or this will fit in. It's pretty much anything that you think obviously will work in your venue, and that also will bring people in, I assume.
Yeah. So, the Massery Center for the Arts, much like the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, has great acoustics to it. So you have to kind of be wary of that as you're booking the artist. You want to make sure that's not something too loud, because it'll not be good for the venue. And for our night, I mean, we have everything from your classic standard jazz that Ellis and Delfeo and Marcellus represent. We have a brass band in the middle, and then we have Arch Stanton Quartet, which will do more of that hard bop, progressive kind of jazz to start off the night. So you kind of have, there's a certain set of technical parameters that we kind of have to adhere to, but stylistically, we like to go all over the place with it.
Yeah.
Because it really, like, these jazz festivals are designed for people to be introduced to new types of jazz and new artists that they might not have heard of before.
Now, and John, you can speak to this in a second, but Sal, this certainly has been, you do a lot of jazz at the Mastery Center.
For our season, I'll do at least a third of our season will be jazz performances. It does really well in the space. The space lends itself to classical and jazz very well.
And you certainly do jazz as well, but it is one of many.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a long history of presenting great jazz musicians. The first concert that our organization presented was Benny Goodman back in the day. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That's great.
You know, so the history's there. But, you know, being a larger venue, jazz has a very specific audience, so we try and program a little more diversity in our season.
Right. And it isn't, sometimes it works with the acoustics, sometimes it's, you know, it could be a comedian, it could be something else,
exactly.
But it's to bring people in.
Right.
And do you, because you're with the college, is it different, because you have a mission?
Yeah, the mission with the Mastery Center is the extension of the mission of the college, obviously to engage people into the College of St. Rose community.
Right.
You know, part of my mission is to introduce people to the college campus and bring our alumni back as well and show them, you know, the fantastic space. And they might have been to the campus in 15, 20 years sort of thing. So it's a great way to get people back onto campus as well.
And it's a beautiful place. I mean, it is a beautiful
place. I'm not going to argue with you there.
Yeah, no. Well, both are,
right.
I should know.
Yeah.
But it is, but you have the old and the new, and it is really a wonderful dynamic that the two can work together. So let me ask a harder question, this isn't a loaded question, although it may seem like it's a loaded question. It isn't a loaded question, but it can only be good for arts organizations to work together in this market, right? I mean, that is beneficial to all parties involved.
Absolutely. We can expound upon it, but any time that we have cooperation within the market, I mean, there are some more loose kind of things that go on as far as, like, you know, between myself and John and Peter Lesser over at The Egg, we generally try to contact with each other if we're thinking about booking something. Did you do this last year? What did you think of it? Do you mind if I present it this year? That sort of stuff. But what John and I are doing is a lot more, obviously, of a formal presentation working together. But again, it speaks back to sharing some of the expenses, working with each other's, you know, patron audience, bridging those gaps, you know, regionally. So there's no doubt. In my opinion, there's no downside to.
Because you're all in this together, John.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's a very close community here. We work with all of the presenting organizations here in the Capital Region to one degree or another. And I think that's healthy. I think, you know, we're all trying to bring more culture into the region, bring in tourism dollars, all that good stuff, and improve the quality of life here. And if we can work together to achieve that, that's good.
Now, of course, we always want more of everything. But when you look at this and you take a snapshot of our region, this region is really blessed to have the arts organizations that it does. I mean, we have
indeed.
Incredible
Agreed.
Places and venues, yours being two of them, of course.
Right. It's incredibly rich. And there's both a great body of local talent who we both like to feature when we can through various, including in this jazz series, as well as, you know, it's a great opportunity because of the routing, the touring shows that come through here are second to none.
When you have a festival, I guess you had the first one last year. So what did you learn from that experience that helped in the creation of this one?
The first year was a nice foundational kind of showpiece for us. You know, it was a great way to kind of test the market and see, is there a market for a winter jazz festival? And the numbers were encouraging enough that we thought we could work on doing a second season. For me personally, I wanted to feature a name like the Marsalis name as the headliner for our night to kind of create even more of an additional splash as far as kind of that anchor performance for that night. But when you talk about being blessed as far as arts organizations in this area, we're also blessed with an incredibly devout, if you will, jazz audience in this area. It's one of the more robust ones I've seen. I would hold it up against, you know, a quote-unquote A market like Boston.
Mm-hmm.
People really support jazz in this area.
So let's talk about both nights and what people can expect. So we'll begin with you.
Sure.
So what can people expect?
So Saturday night, the Archdenton Quartet opens up the performance. They are actually from the Capital Region. It's a quartet. They're a fantastic group. And I think it's a great way for a lot of people to learn about this group, and you won't be disappointed with them. And then second, from Richmond, Virginia, is the No BS Brass Band. And the cool thing about presenting brass inside the Mastery Center for the Arts is we'll essentially turn off all the microphones and the band will just play. And you'll get a little bit of that New Orleans flavor, but they dip equally into some blues and some funk. So it'll switch things up. And then you finish off the night with Ellison Del Feo and Marsalis's Last Southern Gentleman. You'll get the traditional jazz quartet done by some of the best in the business.
The Bridge Jazz Fest kicks off Friday night, February 26th at 7:30 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. And what can folks expect for the opener?
Tim Olson and Eric Walentovich, both local, really great musicians. We had the opportunity to feature Tim playing at one of our Music at Noon concerts a couple of years ago, and he just rocked it. He was amazing. Pierre Bensoussan is a guitarist, unparalleled. He solo guitar, really unique style and approach to the music, and is really very appropriate to hear in the music hall. Well, you'll have that acoustic experience that is really unlike any other. And then the fabulous Nina Freelon, one of the greatest jazz vocalists that we've got with us today, and her trio, and it's going to be really exciting.
Well, it is the Bridge Jazz Fest, which, as I mentioned, kicks off Friday, February 26th at 7:30, and then shifts west of the Hudson River to the Masry Center for the Arts at the College of St. Rose on Saturday, the 27th of February. You can find out more information by going to troymusichall.org or masrycenter.org, and links to both are online at our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. John and Salvatore, thank you very much for being with us. Have a beautiful festival, and thank you for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.